Welcome to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru. We just listened to Common Grounds from the artist Hardy Tree. I find their music quite melancholic, and I wanted to do a Halloween special without being too on the nose. I do have the rockabilly classic that a lot of people love to hear for Halloween, but I thought I'd be more into my type of music because it's my show. Yeah, so this is Halloween 2023, full moon, solar eclipse, all at the same time. And yeah, I was wondering today how to spend the day. Hello, Raxu. There's Zoroff and Raxu and Cake in the chat. A few people listening. This is, do they say which show? I was wondering. I think I'm 125th show or something like that. And yeah, I was wondering, what is Halloween like in my world? And my first reaction, I like disguise. You know, I'm a I'm into theater and disguise and the spookiness of it. It's all good, but I'm not enjoying so much the festivities around it. Maybe the Días de la Muerte would be more interesting if there was a bit of a spiritual twist to it, as some people feel that this month is where the realm of the dead people and the realm of human are as close as they can be. So people are invited to have ritual for their ancestors, the teachers who have passed, or the parents or family members. And that's a good time to connect with them. For myself, I've been having a lot of dreams, lucid dreaming, and different fairly deep, interesting dreams. And I did not set up an altar for my ancestors, although that's something I should plan on. But today I thought that I could, instead of being all spiritual and such, talk about spooky stuff that happened in my life. And see if that's a little entertaining. Let's listen a little more to the Hardy Tree, Common Ground, a garden square in the snow. Thank you. A Garden Square in the Snow. That's from the album The Hard Dude 3 from the person, band, DJ Common Ground. Yeah, I love that label. I've started buying albums from that label from the artwork mostly. But that's a story for another time. So I thought about Halloween and how to convey Halloween. And yeah, I wasn't too sure, but I thought that I'd tell stories from my own life and themed around Halloween. There's two or three stories that I like to share, and a book as well that I have here that is kind of Halloween-ish. The first story, it's a story about a little boy. A little boy who was wondering about the spirit world. He heard all these stories that there was this other ghostly world that he could maybe be in contact with or see, or depending on the situation, maybe talk to some spirit. Or he didn't know. He just heard about that, maybe through some stories or through some books or movies. And he was really wanting to know what was this spirit world all about. He knew that the spirits were probably coming from dead people, and that dead people, they would spend their time in the cemetery. So he thought to himself, how could I get the spirit world to be in contact with me? It's probably not by doing good deeds and asking the spirit to come and visit at night that he would trigger the spirit to come and see him. So he thought, what would be the worst thing I could do in order to poke at the spirits and get them to come and visit, or angrily come and visit? So he thought about many things, and one day while he was visiting the cemetery that was near his school, he thought, well, if dead people are living underground in the cemetery and that their tombstone is their address box or their sign where they live, that might be the way to angry the spirit. So the little boy set out on a mission to go and not only steal tombstone, but to break them. He thought that that would be the way to angry the spirit. So he set about to go in this cemetery and try to find which of the tombstone that he would steal. There were a big one, there were a huge one. And then there was one section of the cemetery that was for the nuns and the monks from the nearby church. And he thought, wow, well, a nun tombstone, it's probably the best thing to anger any of the spirits. There have been very good people during their lifetime, now they're dead. And then to do something so awful, the spirit will probably come and visit me. So these tombstones were really old and very small, all white, and it would be easy to break them apart and to bring them back home. The little boy would powder them, break them in little pieces, and make powder of tombstone, thinking that that would be a very valuable product as a magician or a sorcerer. He even went as far as mixing a little bit of his blood with the tombstone powder to make some sort of ritual product that could be used to call on the spirit. But alas, the spirit never came. The spirit never bothered him in his dream or in his daytime. But one day, one of his friend was wondering, what are these things? What is these powders and these white rocks and pieces of, oh, they're pieces of tombstone, you could see by the writing on them. So the friend of the little boy was asking him, like, what do you do? I was like, well, I went to the cemetery to steal some tombstone. And the little boy was quite interested into that and asked, can we go together? And at first, the little boy didn't really like that idea of bringing somebody else and his stories, and he knew there might be some danger to it. There might be some spirit hunting them at one point. But his friend was insistent, and he decided to go with him. So both boys left to go to the cemetery. In broad daylight, actually, not even at night. Cemetery was big enough that you could hide in some places and still break some tombstone. The little boy knew that these tombstones were kind of heavy and it would be important not to, you know, break the bigger one. And so he always went with a smaller tombstone that were older and easier to break. Well, the friend didn't know much about it, and the friend wasn't that clever of a boy. So although the little boy told them not to play with the bigger tombstone, the friend was playing with the bigger tombstone, shaking them around, moving them, making them fall on the side. The little boy didn't think that was a good idea, but he went along. He didn't like really what was going on, but looking around, he thought that could have been funnier to, you know, steal them and powder them, and not so much just to break them for the fun of it. At what point the friend of the little boy decided to move on to the bigger guy, the very big tombstone of the rich man and woman that lived around the city. He had to use his whole weight in order to move them. He had to shake them forward and backward very slowly at first, and then move away and then let it fall to the side. The little boy thought that seems very dangerous and didn't play along with his friend. And then at one point, the friend was playing with the bigger and bigger tombstone to the point that they were quite a lot more heavier than him. And then it happened. The tombstone fell on the friend. The friend was almost quick enough to move away, but the leg got stuck and broken, shattered in little pieces. The young boy didn't know what to do, looked at his friend, his leg completely twisted, and ran away. He could hear at a distance the ambulance noise coming in, felt reassured that somebody would take care of him, and realized that might be how spirit act in this world, by breaking legs under tombstones. Thank you. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution 127th show. This is another album from the Clay Pipe Music label, and the artist D. Rothen with Rothen. Aquarius Ring is the song from the album Memories of Earth. You're listening to a Halloween special. And I was scanning through my life in the last 24 hours to think about what is Halloween-esque to talk about. And it went from H.P. Lovecraft, as I read a lot of his book when I was a kid. And his whole world, Lovecraft, was quite Halloween-esque. Interestingly enough, when I was reading about his life, I realized that because of his illness, I think he had cancer of some sort, and he smoked a lot of opium for the pain, or maybe not, maybe he was just smoking opium like a good opium addict, and through the opium trip, created a whole world through his dreams. So the dream part was quite a big aspect of H.P. Lovecraft. Yesterday, I was downloading movies for Halloween for my daughter, and I came across, she wanted to listen and watch the new Scream movie. So I downloaded the first one from the 90s and then the last one from 2020s. And we watched just the first scene on both of the movies, and they were almost exactly the same thing. And the first one, the second one, the 2021, used some sort of a fake movie name for some reason with fake question about that fake movie. While the first one, they used real movies and real titles, and the Nightmare on Elm Street was the movie that the murderer was questioning the victim about. And it was interesting because I just downloaded that movie too, Nightmare on Elm Street. And with the titles of all the movies, I realized how much of the movie was based in dream. It was all about dream, and through the movies, I remember as a kid, I've learned to control my dreams, because in Nightmare of Elm Street, from Hell, Elm Street, anyway, Freddy Krueger thing, movie from the 80s. I remember as a kid, that was my first introduction to lucid dreaming. And that's where I learned lucid dreaming, actually, by realizing that you could wake up in your dream and control more of the dream from there. And that was my first experience of, oh, I can do that. I had a lot of nightmare when I was a kid, so I was able to start controlling my nightmare from there. So I thought it was so interesting to start my dream yoga life at a very young age because of a horror movie like that. It's not not very glamorous. It's not the... But that was definitely the first time I heard about it, and then I start practicing dream yoga at that age because of Freddy Krueger, who hunts teenagers' dreams. Let's move to The Age of Train with Gilroy Mear. We're still in the Clay Pipe label here. Thank you. You're listening to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru, 127th live show here on Kootenay Lake in the middle of nowhere in British Columbia. Very fun to be able to do a radio show from here. This is all hosted on sdf.org, a Pubnix, a big server that a lot of people uses for communication, radio show, website hosting, email, Mastodon account, Tubenix, which is a video hosting platform, image hosting platform, voice over IP, what else? Minecraft server and bulletin board system, as well as Shell account, of course, a platform for coding. So they even have their own Git repository. You can have your whole digital life hosted on sdf.org. And the cost is minimal. If you want all of these services, you can pay as little as $40 a year or 30-some a year. And yeah, if you want your own domain even, you can pay a little extra for that. You can have your own server. Yeah, you can have a little. Everything that the internet offers can be done here. Apart from Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and all of these crazy people. So this is a Halloween special, and I thought that I would tell a couple of crazy stories that happened to me. And the first one was the little boy in the cemetery. And the next one is the little boy in sleeping by the Great Lake. So this story of two friends, and they were camping in a very rustic manner on the side of the Great Lake of Ontario. And it was really rustic because they believed that in order to travel across Canada, they didn't need a tent or a hammock or anything. Just a tarp would be enough. But that night, the storm brewed and they were under the rain, a very heavy rain. And the only way that they could find a nice way to be able to sleep was to roll themselves into the waterproof tarp. As you might know, a tarp is not the most comfortable thing to sleep in. So the two boys were not really rested when they woke up in the middle of the night, when the storm had kind of calmed down a bit, but it was still a little rainy. And a huge noise was coming from the town next to the beach there. There was a bay in between the beach and the town, but the boys decided to go and walk to see what was going on there. As they walked into town, people were going from houses to houses, and they were driving around. There seems to be a lot of action happening in town. And the two boys just kind of wanders into that small fisherman village and went to the place where the noise was the loudest. There was this transformer that was humming and buzzing, and most of the power of the town seems to be off. But people were walking around with flashlights and lamps were turned on. Something was happening. But the two boys didn't really care about that. They just woke up from a very bad night. And it was still the middle of the night. And they didn't know much what to do. So the two boys were sitting in the center of this little moving village that everybody are freaking out about. And they're sitting in the stair of an old business that was closed and there was nothing in the window or anything like that. And they wondered if the door was unlocked for some reason. So they turned around and tried to open the door, and to their surprise, the door of the building was open. And they decided that, you know, they should maybe get in there. They waited a bit for the people in the street to calm down a bit because they felt that if they were to be seen to enter a building and they were not they were not known, they might attract the attention of people. They caught the idea that maybe somebody was missing, and that somebody was a little boy. They didn't catch the whole story, but it sounded like the whole town was looking for a little boy during that stormy night where the power went off. So, not knowing what to do, the two boys decided to enter that commercial building. And the first part of the building, the first part of the room, was the front, giving on the street with these big windows. So they decided to go at the back there of the building. So they were in that weird building that seems abandoned. My English is lacking this morning. People seems to have left quite quickly the building when they left, because the Christmas tree was still up, but all the needles were dried and all the stuff was kind of put aside. The two boys went into the kitchen, and again, there was these signs of people had been here a few months ago, but kind of left everything as is. There were muffins on the counter that seems completely rotten and dried. It was really strange. And they decided to go downstairs in the basement for some reason to see if there were other things to be found. And they found some album, like photo albums. They looked into them. There were no photos. They looked around to see if there was anything valuable, maybe, or something to eat, or something to bring back to their camp that might have been useful. But it was all like old house stuff that was not very useful. In the basement, though, they saw this kind of big door. It was a big sliding door, some sort of a fridge or something like that, where you have a big door, and they thought maybe they should go check out behind that door, but it was kind of gloomy to be at first in that empty building, and secondly, to be in the basement of that empty building in that weird village. So they decided not to go through that door and actually just go upstairs. They thought that it would be more comfortable to be inside that night than on the side of the beach. So they kind of created a bit of a bedding space. They had just a blanket, or not even. They had a poncho to lean on and try to be comfortable. And so they tried to sleep. And then the wind comes in. And the wind, of course, creates weird noise within the house, noise that they were not used to hear. Whenever you move to a new house, there's these new noise that you don't know about. And then they start hearing some thumping, and it's like, oh yeah, it's a wind thump. It's not, you know, repeated, it's just a pump. And then they hear another thump, and it's like, oh yeah, that's just the wind moving things around, and then they hear the thump thump. It's like, oh, that's sounded more like something not the wind would do, but you know, it's nothing to worry about. And then it happened. Multiple banging repeatedly that could not be created by the wind. Something or somebody was banging, probably on the door in the basement. The two little boys freaked out, stood up at the same time, and left that building and went back to their tarp on the beach and never talked again about that weird encounter in this little town, Fishertown, on the Great Lake. This was Gilroy Mear with a song called St. Catherine from the album Gilden Gate. This is, again, the Clay Pipe label. I really like discovering labels and artists that are attached to these smaller labels of music, meaning that, well, often, not all the time, they will have a similar feel to, and that label is definitely one of them. I think it's from London. Fun fact, the last stories I told was from a small town near London in Ontario, though. Nothing like... I haven't been to London, actually, the England London, but... You're listening to DJ Damaru, Evolution Revolution. We are today just sharing some stuff about Halloween and from the necromancer of Cthulhu Waits Dreaming to some of my personal stories. Oh yeah, I wanted to share this. Let me just take a moment here. All right, sorry for the delay here. So why would a little boy think of spirits and magic as if it was real? Well, one thing that, awaken the spirit of a little boy was to find where is it written? I'm not sure how you translate this word. Grimoire. 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 Grimoire? Oh, okay. English, grimoire. Grimoire. Jeez. How do you pronounce that? A grimoire. A book of spell. So when I was a kid, I found a grimoire. And I was really excited about it. I was like, whoa, there is such a thing as magic. And this is Les Admirables Secrets de la Magie Naturelle du Grand et Petit Albert. So that was a book that I found at my grandmother's basement. She had so many books. And one of them was a grimoire. And I was like, oh... So magic do exist. And going through the book, there was all these... I need to scan that book because it's getting in bad shape. Well, it was already not in super good shape, and then my dog ate the book. So it was getting pretty... It's getting pretty bad now. It's surprising that it's still in one piece, but there might be a copy online anyway. So it's the Natural Magic, the Admirable Secrets of Natural Magic from the Great Albert and the Small Albert. Conforming to the best edition of the Grimoire, published at Beringos French, La Grippa in Lyon, and Albin Michel, which is a known publisher in France, published that book back in, I'm not sure. I think the front page is missing. Yeah, anyway, a lot of things are missing from that book. So yeah, being raised more scientifically as a kid, I realized that a lot of the grimoire, magical recipes and things like that were just more scientific exploration, but other things were more magical. And wow, there's a big piece missing there. And it also gave a lot of lot of other information about magical property of plants and rocks, and different usage for bodies of animals. So having, you know, collecting dead animals and bones had become at that point something that made me feeling closer to magic. So yeah, that book, this grimoire that I found when I was probably 10 or something like that, or a bit earlier than that, really started the whole kind of observation of reality in a different way. So yeah, there are books that talks about magic that come from another time. They say here at the beginning, what do they say that it was? So they said the Albert le Grand, which was a magician from the year 1200. And that's where the book started to be, well, the content of the book started to be written. And then Albert Groot was a monk and studied philosophy and started to write about magic. So that would be kind of the white magic type of thing. So the natural magic. So using nature. Yeah, I'll scan that book and people will have a look at it. It's kind of a funny thing to have. Probably able to find a copy online too. So that's for my Halloween special. Hope you have a good day. It was also a full moon and a solar eclipse. So lots of movement in the stars. Hope you have a good week. I might be waking up tomorrow. I have a nice pedal synthesizer for a meditation. So if I'm here tomorrow morning, I'll be leading a meditation, mantra and relaxation. Until then, enjoy. This is DJ Damaru with Evolution Revolution. We'll finish with a last song from Gilroy Mir.